Hey, what's really going on? This is Boots Riley. You are listening to BFF.FM.
This is Mac DeMarco. Thank you so much.
Yesterday, on the way home from school, the child disappeared.
They don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you. Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. Oh love, they don't love you like I love you. Oh down, they don't love you like I love you. Something don't feel right, because it ain't right. Especially coming up after midnight. I smell your secrets, and I'm not too perfect to ever feel this worthless. How did it come down to this? Scrolling through your call list. I don't wanna lose my pride, but I'ma fuck me up a bitch. Know that I kept it sexy, and know I kept it fun. There's something that I'm missing, maybe my head for one. What's worst, looking jealous or crazy? Jealous or crazy? Or like being walked all over lately, walked all over lately. I'd rather be crazy. Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you. Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Let's imagine for a moment that you never made a name for yourself, a master wealth. They had you labeled as a king. Never made it out the cage, still out there moving in them streets. Never had the baddest woman in the game up in your sheets. Would they be down to ride now? They used to hide from you, lie to you. But y'all know we were made for each other. So I find you and hold you down. Missing, say, hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you. Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. It's such a shame you let this good love go to waste. I always keep the top tier, 5-star, sexy loving in the car. Like make that wood, like make that wood, holly like a boulevard. What's worse, looking jealous or crazy? Jealous and crazy. Or like being walked all over lately, walked all over lately. I'd rather be crazy. Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you. Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. Oh love, they don't love you like I love you. Hold on, they don't love you like I love you.
I hop up off my bed and get my swag on. I look in the mirror and say, what's up? What's up, what's up, what's up? I hop up off my bed and get my swag on. I look in the mirror and say, what's up?
What's up, what's up, what's up?
Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Jessica and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm real mellow. I'm on 5 Xannies right now. Doing great.
We are decked out in quite a bit of glittery eye makeup today because we are talking about HBO's Euphoria. Did you know that being a teen is like basically living in a Stanley Kubrick movie?
I had a feeling.
Eyes wide shut situation.
I had a feeling. I mean, it explains a lot.
yeah, I I don't really know where exactly to start with this show, but it I felt to me like Friday Night Lights directed by Harmony Korine.
Yeah, that's the that absolutely should be on the box set when they release that. That is
my first blurb.
The log line. It's amazing. And yeah, highly accurate. I was really, really surprised by how like this is a very, very stylized mm-hmm. and aesthetic show that also contains a lot of like emotion. And I found it surprisingly effective. Like I thought it was just going to be kind of stylistic and mm-hmm. like gritty and whatever. But right. like, yeah, I feel like it was a surprisingly affecting show.
Yeah, I was very moved by it. The way it was positioned, like I asked you, you recommended it to me, and I asked you, is this like a supernatural show? Because mm-hmm. the trailers are they're so stylish, and like they take like scenes of her walking on the ceiling and stuff, which
oh, and you truly have no idea what the show's about.
I had no idea. I thought it was about vampires or something. Yeah. But no, it's about suburban teens and their trials and tribulations. A lot of it focuses on Rue, played by Zendaya. Greatest actor of our generation.
She is a force. I mean, she was just outstanding in this role, and she is nominated for an Emmy.
Is she?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I applaud that. She was great. So she's kind of the main focus, and the show opens with her getting out of rehab and like immediately going back to doing various drugs, and then over the course of the show, it turns out like she actually maybe has bipolar and has maybe OCD also, and just a whole slate of problems. But yeah, she's so great. Her face makes me want to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She almost made me believe that someone that beautiful could actually have problems.
She
would not.
The thing that was really, really compelling is like, she's not I don't know if it's how the character was written or how she played it, but she has an extremely flat, deadened affect for a lot of the show. And she's like this sort of like jaundiced narrator. She, you know, is sort of expositing on the inner lives of the other characters. And she is not really this like very redeemable character. And she plays it with such like crushing vulnerability that it's just you see her do these terrible things to herself out of this like deep, deep self-hatred and it's just truly like heartbreaking and just I thought her portrayal was just astounding.
I really sympathized with her through the whole thing, which and almost all the characters too, which I feel like there's something very melancholy about the way this show made teenage problems feel very real. Like, I feel like in other teen TV shows, they have to make the problems either very adult, like, because it's hard to look at teenagers and be like, oh, you know, someone graffitied your locker. Like, I feel so sad for you. Who gives a shit about teenage problems? Like, they seem huge when you're a teenager, but from an adult perspective, they're silly. So most teen dramas are either very soapy or like, you know, like Gossip Girl, where they're basically adults in high school. But yeah, this show, they seem to have normal teenage problems and they seem pretty awful.
Yeah, it gave real weight to that experience that I do feel was like really, really effective, because it did show that like, I mean, I've read a lot of interviews with Sam Levinson, the director. This show was adapted from an Israeli show.
Which we'll be watching for next week.
Yeah, but also loosely based on his teen deep, deep addiction problems.
Oh, really?
And also, just side note, literally this morning is when I found out that Sam Levinson and Sam Levine are not the same person. In my mind, the kid from Freaks and Geeks did this like very nuanced show.
That's
and
what
I
you
was
were thinking
like,
this whole time.
Also, it gets worse because I was like, I didn't like, God, I just don't
think he's attractive enough to have gone through this. And then when I saw Sam Levinson, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Sam Levinson, Barry Levinson's
son. Yes, Barry Levinson's son. Troubled son. Done good, I guess.
Yeah, some of them turn out okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if Sam Levinson is accidentally good, like, despite himself. I feel like there were a lot of ways that...
Like Kurt Sutter.
I feel like there were a lot of ways that this show tonally could have missed.
Totally,
and I
yeah.
think that it was surprisingly, like, emotional. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really grounded in, like I said, giving weight to these teen experiences in a way that really sort of honors, like, how shitty and heavy everything does feel when you're a teenager. Yeah. And obviously when you're an adult and you're looking back, you're like, come on, like, this is your biggest fucking problem. But, like, the article that I read with Sam Levinson was about how the show is purposely heightened. Like, they heightened everything. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously the makeup, the sets, they built this, everything's a soundstage, like, and everything was run on, like, dollies, and it sounds like he was insane about, like, storyboarding and the mm-hmm. look and the feel. And he just mentioned how, like, he wanted the look to convey a feeling. And mm-hmm. I think that it was so effective at doing that.
Yeah, it was. I'm trying to figure out what it evokes for me. It's very dimly lit, but there's also a lot of, like, bright sort of yeah. neon-y. Desaturate is not the right word, but it's very blue, you mm-hmm. know, like mm-hmm. it just kind of reminds me of my so-called life.
That the and, article I read mm-hmm. he specifically mentioned how influential that show was for yeah. him. And
another teen drama that takes place in the present day that has a very 90s aesthetic mm-hmm. that you could imagine it was the 90s except everyone has an iPhone.
Yeah. But I felt like the show did a great job at, like, actually conveying the weight that all these, like, teen things, like, mm. it made being a teen seem like so much more of a fucking gauntlet than
yeah.
I appreciated. I was like, I get that this is all heightened, and yeah. I'm hoping that this is not a super realistic experience for most teens, because it evoked this, like, deep feeling of, like, sadness and despair mm-hmm. in me, but also kind of, like, hope. But it really did feel very, like, stuck in that moment of, like, not some of the characters at the end kind of realize, like, there's life after being yeah. a teen, and you see them kind of try to form who they are. But I was shocked by a lot of this show. I was just saddened and shocked.
Yeah, I mean, the suggestion is that with. Like, being a teenager now, the stakes are higher than
yeah.
they used yeah. to be. Your transgressions are documented mm-hmm. more permanently than they were when we were children. I would venture that the drugs people do are more dangerous than mm-hmm. they used to
That's
be.
That's true.
And the show opens with a really interesting... It opens in an interesting way. Zendaya's character, Rue, is born... right as 9/11 mm-hmm. happens. So, like, when she's a baby, the suggestion is that she's absorbing this anxiety that mm-hmm. the whole world is feeling. And, like, I thought that was such a great metaphor for being, like, born into a more fraught generation than has ever existed. And growing up with at least an inkling that the world is barreling towards destruction.
Yeah.
And I think that is sort of reflected in the way these aren't even millennials. What are they called? Gen Z? Zoomers, you know, do their
comport themselves.
Teen thing.
Yeah.
yeah. And I thought that was, it was very sad.
Yeah. It's extremely, like, hedonistic,
mm-hmm.
but in a very destructive way.
Yeah.
And not to be all, like, old lady, get off my lawn with it. But
just go,
like,
with it.
I was talking to my husband last night about how technology, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the stakes of growing up in this interconnected world where everything is happening, like, through a screen and mm-hmm. everything is mm-hmm. reflected through that lens, like, is just really tough. You're not mm-hmm. formed yet. And the beauty and the like sheer terror of the internet is that you can find your people, you know?
Right.
Like, it's probably a totally different experience being a kid in fucking rural Ohio who's maybe, like, wrestling with your sexuality and doesn't have any outlet mm-hmm. Nowadays to be able to, like, log on and go to, like, rural Ohio amigay.com yeah. and, like, find a community of people who can help you through that. But it's also, like, especially with the character of Kat, I was thinking mm-hmm. about it because she becomes a cam girl over the course of the show. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of this narrative about, like, taking control of your sexuality, but yet you're wielding this control over this thing that you're not familiar with. And right. it's very abstract and, like, you're not fully formed yet. And you can get set in ways that it was, I feel, harder to do when I was a teen. It's yeah. like, I don't know. My friend told me a story. She was like, back in my day, like, I remember we had, my friend and I took pictures, like, in our backyard of us in swimsuits, and then we had to go to the place and we got them. We had to get them developed, and then we had to make a flyer with our numbers on it and then physically hand it to the guys at the mall. Like, and, yeah, I'm like, these kids aren't putting in the work.
Who are your friends?
But I'm just saying, like, that's a heightened example of right. it. Like, I feel like your teens are this time to experiment and try all this stuff on. And, like, it's a lot easier to get locked into something that maybe is not who you truly are yet.
Yeah.
And you're pushed into these situations that are, like, I also watched the after each episode.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch
the them. Characters that were kind of focused in each episode talked a little bit about whatever, like, their process or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that, Barbie Ferreira plays Kat.
It was great. Who, I mean, everyone was great.
Yeah, like the performances were really amazing. But she said, you know, like, this is an unprecedented time because, like, you cannot go to your mom and say, like, should I become a cam girl? Because your yeah. mom's like, what now? Like, that is new. It didn't exist. Like, it's...
That's true. It's, I mean, that's always kind of been true.
Sure,
parents
but...
I don't know what the fuck kids are up to.
I know, but I feel like this is... Like, it's a time where you're just exposed to things in a way. Like, right. everything's available to everyone now. So it's this amazing thing where you can absolutely find your people and, like, become who you feel like you really are. But also it's this thing where you're in situations that you're not quite ready for yet. And things are getting, like, there's no filter, you know? It's yeah. like, there's no buffer. Like, you don't have to put in any work. Everything comes to you now. And it's scary. Like, that's really, like, it's just a different fucking time. Like, it's...
Yeah.
But as you said in your outline, I mean, that has been true for time immemorial. You know, parents are always like, what are the kids up to now, you know?
Yeah.
These damn sock hops.
Yeah, and I also, you know, I was thinking about how this is, you know, the most endangered generation, mm-hmm. which I always think about because I think of climate crisis yeah. a lot. Mm-hmm. But I guess that is sort of solipsistic in a very teenagery way to think like, oh, we're the most, you know, fraught, we're the most whatever, most anything. People are born in Central African Republic sure. every day. People are born into very, you know, war-torn countries mm-hmm. or terrible families or fucking Orlando, Florida. Like, bad things happen to children every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people make it work. I don't know what my point was with that. But yeah, so this show does... I read this New York Times opinion piece that I didn't necessarily agree with about how the...
Was it written by David Brooks?
He has been going on a tear about yeah. Euphoria. Thanks to David Brooks' young wife for turning him on to shows about teens. No, it was not David Brooks. I didn't recognize the writer. But it was like the surprisingly conservative message of Euphoria. And it was... It posited that it was a conservative message that a lot of the kids, like, formed relationships over, you know, the internet or social mm-hmm. media, and that led to bad things. And he sort of claimed that it was like, you know, a lot of good stuff comes from the internet, and it's, you know, pretty conservative to suggest that bad stuff happened. And I was like, I don't, that wasn't my takeaway at all.
No,
but
I do think
the show treats that in a more nuanced way. Like, there's a trans character, Jules, yeah. Who I found magnetic.
Mm-hmm.
She's just got the face of an angel.
Yeah. Hunter Schafer.
Yeah.
And in her first acting role.
Really?
And Barbie Ferrara in her first acting role.
Yeah, I think a lot. We're going to get to Feds, but Angus Cloud in his first acting role. And hopefully not his last.
How those eyelashes have not been monetized to be on screen before is a real mystery.
Yeah. This is getting sidetracked, but he was plucked off the street in Manhattan to read for this role. And I think he is pretty much plays himself, but...
Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. He's from Oakland. Shout out
As
to
As is
Fez.
Zendaya.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She also. They both went to the Oakland School for the Arts.
Oh, damn.
School of the Arts, whatever it is. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So the trans character, you know, she does get into sort of a very dangerous, life-ruining, I'd say, catfishing situation on the social meds. But, like, a character like that is a perfect example of someone who probably found their community mm-hmm. on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we saw her backstory. She was institutionalized by her mother mm-hmm. when she was a small child. And it was a tough road to becoming the, you know, person that she wanted mm-hmm. to be in transitioning. And that's something that was probably much, I mean, obviously, was much, much harder when you were, if you lived in Nowheresville, USA, mm-hmm. you would be completely isolated and had no fucking idea that there were other people.
Or even what was possible. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that, I have not read that opinion piece, but that sounds like bullshit. I didn't think it was a conservative message at all. One of the things that I really liked about this show, and I read this in one of the articles I was reading this morning, was about there's been a lot made of like, oh, it's got like a drug problem, you know, because it's got this portrayal of like kids on drugs. But it's...
What's the problem?
Just about like, it's funny because I was talking to my aunt a few weeks ago about this show, and she was like, I watched the first one, but I didn't think it was appropriate. And I'm like, well, like,
what?
Yeah, it's sorry. Like, you know, it's fine that you don't think that it's not for you, but it's not like nothing's inappropriate. Like, no yeah. art is inappropriate, right?
I feel like this is the oldest argument in the book, is like showing anything bad.
Yeah.
You always get it thrown in your face that you're glamorizing something
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
you know, that we've decided is bad. And you can make the argument that some things glamorize, you know, vices.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think showing people doing drugs is not,
no,
not an endorsement.
No, and I think that was the... The,
I mean, certainly
in the
not
article,
given the way the show ends. You know?
Yeah, and in the article that I read today, Sam Levinson was talking about, apparently when Euphoria aired at whatever, like Toronto International Film Festival or mm-hmm. whatever, he gave a very impassioned speech about like, this show is about like showing the humanity behind people who are using drugs.
Yeah.
Like, there is a reason that everybody turns to drugs. You know, it's not for kicks. It's not for like, these are people who are in pain, and like showing it not be criminalized. Did I just say criminalized? And showing it not just as like, there are myriad reasons why people take drugs. Some of them are recreational, you know. And he's like, I want to be clear that I think that even though all these characters are using substances, I think Rue is the only one with a problem. And
mm-hmm.
You know, I think that showing all these parts of life as parts of life,
yeah,
that's useful. And also, like, there's a scene where Rue ends up being given fentanyl, and mm-hmm. you see Fezco say, like, get the Narcan, and, like, talking about harm reduction and different ways to address that instead of everything being, like...
Like, dare.
Here's a very important lesson.
Right.
Like, she's going to die. You know,
yeah, you
like,
have, yeah.
There's...
We probably talked about this, but yeah, that's what my drug education was.
Yeah.
It was like, all drugs are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana is the gateway drug.
Yeah.
And like, the message that I think a lot of people take away from that is like, if you try marijuana, you're a fucking junkie.
Yeah.
So like, why not try something else?
Yeah.
That's, you made it the gateway drug by calling it that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's any fucking real message about like the danger of the internet or anything. I just think that for me, I was looking at this. There's also a really like telling scene. One of the girl, what's her name? Cassie.
Cassie
has like her nudes released, her videos, mm-hmm. and you see they talked about like she was really depressed and thought about like taking a bunch of Tylenol, but then decided by the time she's done with college and working or whatever, 99% of the population is going to have leaked nudes, and that is totally true.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like we're moving the needle on like all mm-hmm. this stuff. Like, I think the sex lives of teens nowadays are definitely different than mm-hmm. they were when I was a teen. And
yeah, they talked about how everyone watches pornography and that's changed the way people interact sexually.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, yeah, these kids are like doing things that, you know, I've never heard of as, as like a normal sex act, you know, it's like nothing. I don't know.
I know. It's hard to know what to say. Like, to me, my instinct and my gut is that that feels bad,
you damaging,
know, like it's too much. It's too much to take on when you're that age. But I'm coming at it from, you know, the perspective of someone who didn't have that much input.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just pathologizing something because it's just it's too much for me. But I'm from a different generation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do think that the like pornification of like sex does definitely like negate the like I don't know some emotional like aspect of it, and also the like everyone kind of trying to figure things out at the same time, like I don't know. But again, I'm a 40 something year old woman. Like, this is not my experience. It's not going to be my experience.
Never say never.
But I thought that the show just really made a compelling case for like it is fucking hard to be a teenager in the world nowadays, and I do think that it had like a real sort of nihilist bent to it, but also with these like universal themes of like the same shit that's been going on since people were ever around, you know, mm-hmm. like everyone wants connection, everyone wants to find someone, everyone wants love, everyone, you know, is looking to feel better. And like, I don't know, there was something like really really sad about this show, and yet something like really like a kind of beautiful like underlying hope to it.
I mean, some of the characters are so sweet, and there is something like, to me, when high school kids have these sort of, I don't know, like it doesn't have the same high school conventions that mm-hmm. like something from 15 years ago would have, mm-hmm. where like there's, you know, necessarily backstabbing and
but
cookiness.
It kind of does, like there's teen pregnancy, there's
I guess I just mean among the character, like their personal relationships, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. all the girls were friends, there wasn't any like, you know, like meet girl on girl meanness. There's something refreshing about like, there is, you know, the threat of being outed as gay, but it's different now. Like, the main bully, he is, you know, conflicted about his sexuality, I guess. And his, and we also have to talk about all the dicks on the show. His girlfriend finds, you know, dick pics on his phone, mm-hmm. other people's dicks. And instead of, I don't know, she's like, it's so, like, she says,
she's like, sexuality is a spectrum. Like,
like, not everyone's 100% gay or 100% straight. And he doesn't outwardly believe that or acknowledge that. But it's, that was kind of a refreshing change from what, you know, what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I guess my point is, like, there is something sweet about their relationships and the way, like, I don't know, friends support each other in the show and are there for each other. The Rue-Lexi relationship,
mm-hmm.
her childhood best friend who she had drifted from. And then, actually, that's so interesting. I'm just realizing that that relationship reminds me of Angela Chase and
Sharon her child, Graf.
Sharon, yes. Uh-huh. And Jules very much styled like Rayanne Graf.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but their threesome was, you know, not quite as fraught. They just, you know, kind of drifted back and forth in closeness, but it wasn't like a, you know, this backstabbed situation for someone to have drifted apart from their childhood best friend.
Yeah, just an aside too. Lexi is played by Maude Apatow, who was great in this, but also I fucking love the idea of like Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann reading this and being like, bitch, you're going to go as Bob Ross for Halloween. Okay. You can be in this show, but you will be L7, like super square. Like, it just, I was like, Judd Apatow's not letting his kid like snort oxy or whatever. You see her get a little tipsy in the last episode.
That was cute. She had a pretty minor role, but I hope we see more of her. I love that she got a little bit drunk at the dance and then just looked like she was turning into liquids at the table.
Yeah, she was. Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. There's something sweet about that. Okay, I feel like we have a lot more to talk about. I want to do a quick song. Hopefully, my computer will cooperate here. The soundtrack.
See,
was,
technology.
It's a real disaster. Amazing soundtrack. Yeah, their licensing budget had to have been.
Yeah.
Quite
well, again, with it being as stylistic as it was, like, music is very, very heavily used to convey, like, feelings and,
But yeah, like, 25 episodes, or songs an episode. Anyway, enjoy this one. We'll be back in a few minutes.
All the love we've ever had.
All the love we've ever had.
Just me and
TV on the radio. That was the Dreamliners, Just Me and You. That song was a real discovery for me. Anyway, we're talking about Euphoria on HBO. Should we talk about the ending?
Yeah, sure.
Did you, spoilers, we're going to talk about the ending. Although I found it, I thought it was ambiguous.
Yeah.
What actually happens. She, the Rue, you know, relapses, and there's this like montage. Well, tell me, what do you think happened? I'll sum it. There's like a montage of the whole episode is intercut with her mom reading a letter at church, and to me it's ambiguous what that church gathering is. We see her father, who died of cancer, you know, a couple years before the action of the show. We see some scenes with him.
Yeah. Like embraces her,
and then it kind of swells into this like gospel choir number with some like interpretive dance, and it turns into like this sort of symbolic moment. And I thought it could mean either she dies or or she doesn't die, she just relapses. And the song at the end is, I think, the theme song for the show, but it's very moving, and there's a lyric about, you know, when I go gently into that good night, mm-hmm. something about someone to remember me. I fucking burst into tears yeah. watching it.
Yeah.
Like, actual sobbing, like, I don't know. Maybe I was just in a mood or in emotionally fragile, but it really affected me.
Yeah. So a lot of the music is done Labyrinth. By... yeah, Labyrinth, who are amazing, but Labyrinth and Zendaya did All For Us, which is okay. the song that they're singing. But then also there's Donny Hathaway, A Song For You, that plays at the very end. And I don't know, I took it as, you're making a compelling case for, like, her being dead, although I hope that's not the case, because mm-hmm. It's been picked up for season two, and...
Yeah. I mean, the other argument for that is, like, the way she narrates the entire show, she kind of touches almost on the interiority of other characters in a way that seems very omniscient.
Like, yeah,
it
yeah.
could be from the afterlife.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, you know, begrudge them having that creative license, even if it...
Yeah.
She wasn't dead.
Yeah, I felt it was, effective. But I don't know. I took it more as a, like... There is definitely, like, a lot of imagery. Like, she's pulled up off the mm-hmm. bed.
And she hugs, like, her dad.
Yeah.
Dead.
And there's the, like, white, like, yeah. not light, but there's, like, white stuff falling on her, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know, almost like a soul leaving a body kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then there's also, like, the stumbling, like, actively looking for, like, help or support. And yeah. then, like, climbing the mountain mm-hmm. of people. And so, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I get it's whether or not she's dead. It's that's not the question that affected me emotionally. It was just such, I don't know, the music really made me emotional, and just this sort of like evoking that Dylan Thomas line,
mm-hmm.
you know, about fighting against whatever, I can't remember it. Not going gently
not
into that good night.
That good
that's
night.
Just so, like, I don't know. It feels, you know, ever sadder to think about that. Barreling towards
yeah well and there's like the heartbreak of that too with somebody who's like going through this journey and like struggling and
yeah.
like being that young and like really really showing like the struggle to stay mm-hmm. sober and like
and she talks a lot about how like she does want to get better for her mom and her sister but she
yeah.
has trouble convincing herself that she's worth saving.
Yeah, you know? And she also talks about there in that scene where she ends up taking fentanyl, like she prays not to die, and that's mm-hmm. like the reality of being a user is like you it is a prayer not to die every
yeah.
time, you know. And I don't know, and there was like a whole it was red and white and like
yeah
I don't know. But I thought it was, yeah, I thought it was interesting, for sure.
All right. Sorry.
But I don't know if she's dead.
Yeah, I doubt they would. I think it was purposefully ambiguous, but...
There's a lot about this show that is that way, like, that mm-hmm. you're not sure if it's, like, a dream state or if it's really happening. There was, like,
yeah.
Jules at the club on...
Yeah,
she had taken drugs.
I was very confused by that scene.
And there's the scene of them at the carnival where they're crying the glitter, and you're like, are they actually just wearing the glitter? And like,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot that's like very
kind of fantastical.
Yeah, fantastical and like evocative. And
yeah,
and as I said, it's like really heavily styled. And then I was like going down and like, I was like, oh, at the Halloween party, like when Jules is dressed as like Juliet and
mm-hmm.
like. From the Baz Luhrmann
yeah.
Romeo and Juliet, and like Rue is dressed as like what, Charlie Chaplin or like Jay Gatsby,
she was
like
Romeo.
A silent. No.
Oh, really?
No, not from the Baz Luhrmann for sure.
Oh, was she Leo's character from
Gatsby? Maybe.
Yeah.
I think
she was.
Yeah.
I never saw that Romeo and Juliet, so I don't get.
Oh
it.
God!
I know
saw it so many times. I have it on DVD on VHS. Jess, you're welcome.
I know.
To
I'm
it.
Like a true traitor to my generation.
Saw it three times in the cinema,
that.
In the movie
cinema.
Theater. Sorry, the movie at the movie. Saw it three times. Went out immediately. Bought the soundtrack. Immediately bought the VHS. When I moved to America, immediately went to. the Hollywood store on Pier 39 and bought some stills from the movie, which were the first art I had framed and hung on my wall.
That is
so
the cutest
seminal
thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, really, wow. Really, really seminal piece of
maybe
art.
Maybe that's what I'll do tonight.
Oh, it's
I've
so
been
good
enjoying things that are highly stylized and
it is that. It's really that. It's great. And yes, it will absolutely make you cry.
Okay. Don't tell me how it ends.
Well, they get married. And Romeo gets fat.
I also wanted to talk about, speaking of the sort of unreliable narrator stylistic interjections, I really enjoyed when Rue is sort of like suspicious of, you know, what's going on. I'll try not to explain the whole plot,
oh,
but there's
yeah
some intrigue and some criminal masterminding, and she's hot on the case.
Yeah, it's more than intrigue. It is fucked
yeah
up.
There is more life ruining in this yeah show than Gossip Girl.
Yeah. But like higher stakes. Like,
yeah.
People died in Gossip Girl, but like, I don't know. This was
people
bad.
Got banned from Manhattan in Gossip Girl yeah by a teenager. But yeah, so there's this thing where she's like smoking and wearing a gun holster and doing this whole, like, you know, they say as much, but she's like every Morgan Freeman detective
yeah
character, and Lexi's along for the ride, and they're calling each other by their last names, and
yeah
it's very funny. And I thought, like, oh, this is kind of a nice lighthearted way to do this. But then it turns out it's like a manifestation of her mania, because
yeah
she's devolving into bipolar disorder.
Yeah,
maybe. So that was like, I thought that was really well done, because
yeah
it was funny, but then also very much not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, very enjoyable. What else? I always love a teen show that involves Halloween and a carnival and the prom. Like
winter formal, Jess.
Okay,
it
was
just a winter formal.
Figure
it
out
was
what
not
the
a prom.
Was. Well, fine. I like winter formal. If that's how teenagers dress for formal dances now, then I'm all for that. Because it was truly homogenous when
yeah
I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was in the same strapless navy blue
yeah
sweetheart neckline gown.
Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, not
yeah
me. I can't pull off strapless. But
no, people are.
What were you going to say?
That same article that I was talking to you about where Sam Levinson was saying, like, everything's really heightened. I came to that article because somebody in my Twitter feed was like, I just read this article with Sam Levinson where he was talking about how everything's heightened. And he said, I mean, mm-hmm teens don't really go around in that kind of makeup. And this teen was like, bitch, that's the only part that felt like accurate. You know, like that's all teens are doing. And I did. I saw a kid on the bus yesterday and I was like, this kid is straight like Jules from
yeah
Euphoria. Like she had the dots under her eyes, like mm-hmm the whole thing. And they all look fucking amazing.
Was
and
very
I was
joyous,
like
the styling.
I really really I was like, why don't I try like for
yes
my eyes surrounded by glitter? And it's because, oh, you need to have zero wrinkles around your eyes to do that. There
not
would just
true
be lines,
just
deep crevices
cover
of
them in rhinestones
mist glitter where it sinks into my many crags. But yeah, it was really really joyous and beautiful.
Yeah.
And
I'm guessing this show is going to single-handedly like drag Tumblr back from the cliff it's about to fall off of.
Oh, as it is, yeah,
very gif-able.
Yeah,
and,
yeah really really beautiful. And all so again, like going down this whole thing where I was like, I also like how all of these teens looked like again, heightened versions of teens.
Mm-hmm.
None of them had, like, they all have fucked up teeth to some
oh
variation,
mm-hmm,
which I thought was, like, super refreshing. Like, these, we didn't talk yet about
and
where the
show
is set.
Enjoy that while it lasts, because anyone whose first acting job this was, the next time you see them, they will have perfect teeth.
No, I don't.
Oh,
I,
yes.
I think it's, I don't
everyone
know.
Everyone gets their teeth fixed.
I don't know.
I think it's going to be a few years before there's like a snaggletooth acceptance movement that I will be in.
I will champion the snaggletooth acceptance movement. We didn't talk about the setting. We talked about like how
oh
this
yeah
is highly highly stylized, but for the first few episodes I thought this was Florida because I got serious fucking like that depressed, like the quality of the light is that kind of like
mm-hmm
slightly seedy, like that motel that it opens on
mm-hmm
with Jules seemed really like I don't know. I just
there's
got,
a very
like,
beautiful scene when Jules and Rue bicycle through an
through
orange
the orange grove.
But
yeah,
that scene. And so I think it's actually useless speculating about this because I think it was purposefully meant to be anywhere. It reminded me also of my so-called life in that respect. Mm-hmm. But in the Orange Grove scene, they stop and there's a snow-capped mountain range.
Yeah.
So that made me feel like California's Central Valley.
Yeah, I think it is. I think Rue ends up in L.A., which is where she's moved from. That's where she goes for her party weekend.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it has a real generic, like, noirish, really pretty... Very, very
sort of 70s looking through the lens of the 90s, through the lens of today.
Yeah, it's I don't know if I've mentioned it before. It's a highly stylized show, you guys. But again, this is something that I feel like I say so often. The other thing I really liked about this is it's so refreshing to see something different. Like, they're treading very well worn material here with like the plight of teens, and I do feel like they gave real like emotional weight to it in a way that other shows don't always succeed with. And I think Friday Night Lights did. It is like Harmony Korine directing Friday Night Lights. I think Friday Night Lights did the same thing where it didn't like make it didn't dismiss your teen struggles,
right?
And
I think it comes down to making you care about the characters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I enjoyed the way this show, it started zoomed in on Rue and Jules sort of, and then kind of panned backwards to the rest of the cast. And it did a really great job of like, of getting into everyone's interior and their story. Mm-hmm. And like Cassie's character, I wouldn't have given much thought to. And then they did such a good job of fleshing out, like, you know, why she's a weepy girl and, like, how anyone could be sad when they have a body like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was she was just in search of someone to fill the daddy-shaped hole in her heart, and it made complete sense. And...
And also touched the show also did a good job at almost doing like throwaway sort of like big issue things, like talking about like how your entire life changes as you become an attractive woman.
Yes.
And
all the
also
come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. Like talking about dick pics and like talking about things like that in a way that like is addressing these larger like societal like patriarchal bullshit things that everybody deals with, but just like making it one person's story and like how her life changed. And the only thing, like, she was a natural at ice skating and her dad couldn't afford to keep her in ice skating. So then like her life changed to just becoming about being beautiful and like being appreciated for that. And she has an abortion in the show and they played that Arcade Fire song, My Body is a Cage, and you see her ice skating, and it was just, like, really just beautiful and affecting. And I thought that they did a good job with, just really kind of getting at, like, the awareness that you have as a teen about your own shit, but... yet you're just like sort of powerless against it because you don't have the tools to deal with everything yet. And that's one thing that I found interesting too, even with the character of Nate, is like he's a fucking monster, obviously, but not unaware, as is his dad, Eric Dane, who has lived this extremely repressed life of trying not to be gay.
Right.
And just like the damage that has done to his entire family.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the show did another good job of showing how trauma gets passed down.
Epigenetics,
no matter.
Man.
Yeah.
It's real.
Well, or by letting your kid find your stash of self, you know, DIY pornography that you've made with, some underage trans girls.
Yep.
But yeah,
who amongst us just...
Sorry.
Judge not, lest she...
Kink shame.
Yeah.
The Nate character was great, because, like, he was almost just like one-dimensionally bad, but you got just enough of his interior to make you understand how a young man could like turn into that kind of toxic male who he has an opinion about how things are supposed to be that you can see how he sees as like morally the high ground instead of patriarchal bullshit. And you can see, like, you understand his self-hatred just enough to understand how he sublimates it into violence and, being a fucking monster. And he's definitely going to be president of the United States one day.
Yes, absolutely.
He will never face any consequences for what he's done. Are you as terrorized by Eric Dane as I am? I'm sure he's a fine man. I hate his face.
Well, I mean...
You said his face looks fucked up. I think he looks...
Oh, my God, Jess.
Really?
His plastic surgeon is a propane heater. Like, obviously, he fucking melted his face off.
Sorry. This is an aside. Have you seen Simon Cowell's face?
Yes, he
what
fucked
the
himself.
Fuck?
I don't know. Whatever.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe just your, like, ugliness eventually becomes
seeps
manifest
to the
through your... Yeah. Anyway, yes. Eric Dane has had... an insane amount of work done.
All right.
And he does not look great.
I've hated his face since Grey's Anatomy and since...
I've never watched Grey's Anatomy and I have no prior opinions about Eric Dane other than the Carrie Ann Paniche, Rebecca Gayhart threesome video that he gained some notoriety for. but I thought he was super affecting in this. I thought he was amazing. I thought he was great.
Yeah, he was great.
He was
terrifying.
Absolutely. Like, 90% of his character scenes were him sitting fucking stock still.
Yeah.
Like, so tightly controlled in every aspect of his life that you're, waiting for some, like, supernatural force to burst from that man and just, like, cause destruction throughout the entire world.
Yeah.
And it was... terrifying. And he was really good in it. And again, there's a lot of that, like, that, like, self-hatred is obviously, like, to the forefront, but there's that, like, awareness of the ways in which you're, like, fucking up and not trying to do anything to actively change it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, true to life, that's what most people do. I'm aware of all the ways I make mistakes and
what
God forbid I try anything to change it, because then what would I have to complain about?
Any other characters you want to discuss? I guess we kind of touched on everything.
I'm kind of concerned for Ethan. I loved Ethan.
I enjoyed Kat. Yeah, Kat and Ethan's storyline. I really loved him. We're introduced to him. He sits down next to Kat in lab class, and she says, like, she asks if he's a school shooter or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, funny. And then the way she treated him over the course of the show, I was like, she's going to turn him into a school shooter.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to, like, manifest that reality, and the show will have taken a stance against women, and they really are behind everything that's evil in this world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that has never been explored on TV. So, I mean, that'd be nice if they did that. How do you think they're gonna? Is she gonna come out as a cam girl to him?
Like, I mean, probably. He'll probably come across her on Pornhub or something.
Yeah,
and then it'll just be like everything else that happens in this show. Like,
it's the world we're living in.
Like it or don't. What else? A lot of full frontal male nudity.
Yes,
in the
lots
show.
Of it.
Which I would like to come out against. You and I have declared on this show that there needs to be more sex on TV, and I would like to formally retract that.
Let's take it back a bit.
It reminded me of Girls, like so much unenjoyable sex scenes. So many unenjoyable sex scenes in this show.
Which I think is maybe the reality. I mean,
of course.
That was certainly my teen reality.
Yeah, it would be irresponsible to suggest that sex is ever enjoyable when you're a teenager. It's gross. I don't like it. Would you have sex with a guy in a pretty convincing Ted Bundy costume?
That guy was handsome. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah.
What else? Is there anything in the world stupider than a fraternity?
No. I mean, I don't know. Just men in general. But yeah, fraternity is really like the purest distillation of all that is wrong with fucking being a teen boy.
We haven't even discussed Ashtray. It's like Fez is, I don't know.
Boss?
Yeah.
who 11-year-old seven. Child?
Yeah. I would have guessed that guy's, okay, maybe 9.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like younger than a SoundCloud rapper with face tattoos. Yes. He was adorable, though.
He was awesome.
I hope he gets a
We haven't really talked two. About Fez. Fezco is Rue's dealer.
Style icon.
I don't want to say Cosby sweaters, but I was going to say sweaters.
Cosby sweater. So good.
But also, like, just almost like a Greek chorus. Like, he was just powerless against everything happening around him. Mm-hmm. And, like, the only one who's actually, like,
good
acting. Yeah, like, or yeah, like, moral or questioning or, mm-hmm. like, generally, like, genuinely looking out for other people, yeah. despite being a drug dealer.
He's a hero. I thought in that scene where she's, like, hitting bottom and needs drugs.
And she's banging on his door.
And I thought he was going, you know, she's being such a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
I thought that he was going to be like, fine, take drugs. Mm-hmm. Who gives a shit? And he didn't. He would not sell her drugs. Yeah. And that was just.
And he's taking care of his grandma. He's like, and just like, yeah, like out there, that's what he has to do to make it. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was again, that like not criminalizing, like everything's not black and white.
Yeah.
Like drug dealers aren't all like. Useless evil. Pieces of shit.
They're all Mouse.
Yeah, Mouse was terrifying.
Those face tattoos are real.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a fucking interesting thing to be like, I'm going to be an actor.
I didn't look into his backstory. I don't know if he was, you know, plucked off the street like Fezco and Angus Cloud was. I saw him on, I was looking up Angus Cloud on Instagram, actually, and then came across that guy's Instagram, and I thought about following him, but I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I wouldn't get on his radar. Yeah. But Angus Cloud, like, Fezco just has, like, his eyes were just so, like, he's kind of a slacker, like.
He's got very sad eyes. Yeah.
But he's got, like.
Mentioned his cowl eyelashes.
Yeah, such, like, vulnerability and just, like, radiating love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, come for the
bleak
neon and yeah. drugs and glitter eye makeup, but stay for Fez.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, I thought it was great.
It's a great show. I highly recommend it. I found it very, very moving and very engaging.
Really compelling.
I binged all 8+ hours in the last 2 days.
That's heavy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd recommend it that way.
Yeah.
But
do you have, do you also have a kidney infection and depression now? Because
oh, I did very much relate when she said, like, her friends are recommending shows that you must watch.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I don't want to watch good
just
TV.
Feels
I
like
want to watch
so
Love
much
Island.
Work. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, so I feel that. You know you're depressed when you can't even focus on reality
TV.
Yep. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We are going to be back next week with more TV on the Radio. So stay tuned for Indie Rock Girl Radio.
Yep. And keep it here on BFF.fm.
All day.